Dr. Irwin Seal, founder of the Quinby Memorial Church in Secaucus, New Jersey, wrote a book called This Business of Living. Now, I thought this was an interesting title. I think that at some point in time, most of us question the reality of existence, seeking explanation and clarity. Now, in our time of contemplation, we reason that we are alive, and what we are alive to is life. The focus now becomes life itself, how to live it, and in living it, how to make it the experience that we want. Our desire is for a certain quality of life, and the challenge is to discover how to claim it. The Bible tells us that God gave man dominion over all of the earth and everything in it. Does this mean it is possible for us to choose what comes to us as our experience? Is this what Dr. Seal was referring to when he titled his book, This Business of Living, meaning that we are somehow involved? This age-old question has been addressed in many ways. Many authors have shared their thoughts, their views, and opinions, explaining their approach for consideration. Nona Brooks, she wrote a book called Mysteries, concluding that many consider life a mystery. Perhaps it is how we conduct our business of living that allows us to solve the mystery. Emma Curtis Hopkins considered the act of upward glancing, looking to spiritual reality, as the only life worth living. Lillian DeWaters, in her book, The Great Answer, reveals that what we seek is already contained in us. Lift your eyes on high and behold only Him. Helen Zagat wrote a book called Faith and Works, concluding this to be the way of individual achievement. Always the goal is to find a way to handle the business of living, adopting a method or an approach that leads to greater revelation and realization. Joel Goldsmith pondered the question, and he discovered the infinite way. Irvin Gregg shared the divine science way. Now, while all of this is helpful, and we do learn much from it, each must find his or her own way, discovering what works for them. Now, regardless of our technique or method, we feel that this business of living should include enjoyment and celebration of life itself. Authors, poets, and learned men, they consider the true celebration of life to be an inner experience, an activity involving the heart and the soul of a man. I consider this the highest form of acknowledgement of life. However, we also live in the world of form, and form loves to celebrate in an outward way, allowing the enthusiasm of inner being to spring forth as an outer display of symbol and intent. Yes, the world does love a celebration. Therefore, we go in search of something to celebrate. Now, there are universal celebrations, ones that include a wider participation, such as Christmas and New Year's Eve. There are more limited remembrances, confined to location and purpose. For instance, tomorrow we are celebrating the birthday of our country. We will come together as a nation, gathering with family and friends for a cookout or a barbecue in the backyard. There will be music and parades. And for those of us who do live in Washington, D.C., let us not forget those fireworks down on the Mall. We travel through the year commemorating events collectively or individually. Some are more personal than others, such as family observances, birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and retirements. Now, acting in this way is what we might call the business of living, played out on the stage of life as milestones, commemorations, and remembrances. We also judge a quality of life according to development and progress, recognizing advancements in science and technology, in medicine and communication, acknowledging growth and progression. But at the same time, we consider conscious awareness of inner being to be the great answer. Therefore, we do admit that directing attention to worldly accomplishments might not be the highest recognition of life. However, we remind ourselves that we are also living in the world. And sometimes we react as human beings, doing what the world expects us to do. And so we continue to celebrate what we have done and how far we have come individually and as a civilization. We may begin with the earliest of times. We consider the primitive discovery of fire and the invention of the wheel as signs of expansion and improvement. And then later on, there was the conception of the printing press, the telephone, electrical appliances, mass transit, and all those modern-day implements that make our life much easier, freeing us to explore in other directions. Now, all of this bears witness to the fact that life moves forward, upward, and onward, compelled by an urge to reach beyond its current expression. Now, this is true in all areas of life. Its nature is to develop and unfold according to an invisible plan, inviting us to move with it, fulfilling its potential and possibilities. Yes, the business of living allows for inventions and discoveries, marvelous and amazing for sure. And yet, the greatest discovery of all is knowledge of man himself. Focused on life itself, we go beyond accomplishment and achievement, pondering the role of the individual. In our desire to understand life, we must consider man himself. Exactly who or what is man? What is his makeup and his origin? What is his value and purpose? What is his depth, his motivation, and potential? Now, to find our answers, we go beyond the physical appearance, beneath the surface of personality and form. There is a depth to life not visible to the human eye. The eye of true perception and discernment is the eye divine, the I am that dwells in the heart and the soul of man. Now, we have noticed the existence of depth and intensity revealed in other areas of study and observation. There are mysteries and wonders of life that lie beneath the surface. For instance, let us consider the jewels and precious metals located in the bowels of the earth, What a multitude of blessings that come out of the physical earth of our day. Gold and silver, rubies and diamonds. Other riches include coal, gas, and oil. All have existence in a realm compatible with their nature. And for us to discover them, we had to dig beneath the surface, calling them forth from their native environment, their inner realm of existence. As man unfolds in wisdom and knowledge, he expands his assessment of life, accepting a broader view of the treasures and riches that make up this experience we call life. When we consider knowledge of man, we consider and discover that his true riches lie inside of him, just beneath the surface of visibility. Without this discovery, man will not recognize his true potential. He will remain unaware and uninformed, continuing to celebrate life according to milestones and remembrances, not realizing there is a deeper purpose to this business of living. When we consider gold and silver, rubies and diamonds, coal, gas, and oil, we may ask, who put them there? Who or what designated that place beneath the surface as their residence, as their realm of existence? When we consider the true riches in us, we ask the same questions. What are our riches? Who put them there? And what is our realm of existence? There are times when we consider life a mystery, not sure where we came from, asking, what is our place of origin? What is our native environment? Now, when we contemplate the origin of anything, we are asking about its conception. Who created it and put it in place? There is an old legend which says that when the gods created the world and man, they sought to hide the secret of creation in a secure place so that man could not find it. Some of them suggested that they should bury it deep in the earth, but others said no. Man was a very intelligent creature, and he would burrow into the earth and find the secret. Well, this proved to be discerning and perceptive because that is exactly what man did when he dug for gold and silver, rubies, diamonds, coal, gas, and oil. Now, some suggested the depth of the sea or the higher reaches of the upper air as a safe hiding place. But always there was some objection, acknowledging that man was very crafty and inventive. He would acquire tools and build machinery to search the upper heights of the air and the lower depths of the seas. Again, this proved to be very discerning because that is exactly what man did. Well, the gods finally exhausted all the possible hiding places until one of the gods suggested that they hide the secret of creation within man himself. Said the god, he will never think to look for it there. Therefore, that is how it was then, and so it is today. That old legend is a very accurate description of all of us. Every man comes into this existence with the secret of creation contained within him, but he does not know it, at least not at first. The greatest discovery an individual can make is that he is spiritually prepared to handle the problems and tasks of this life, that he is born equipped with the essential qualities, attributes, and capabilities, the ones that are necessary to live a successful life. In other words, man has what it takes. These are the treasures buried beneath the surface of visibility. Therefore, man must go to the depth of his being to find them. Our success of discovery depends on how we choose to go about this business of living. Have we chosen the way of upward glancing, or have we chosen the way of the world? I have said it before, it's all up to us. Our Creator has given us the freedom to choose. We can choose to live life on its surface, celebrating its milestones and remembrances, finding pleasure and purpose in marking the passage of time, praising its inventions and its discoveries. Now, I want to point out there is nothing wrong with this particular expression of life. After all, we are to enjoy the abundant life in its fullest array and variety of form. The Bible tells us that Jesus enjoyed the company of friends, that he attended weddings and celebrations. Tomorrow, as we celebrate the birthday of our nation, by all means, gather together with your family and friends. Do enjoy that good food and the live music and those parades. For those of you who wish to join the masses to view the fireworks down on the mall, well, go for it. God sent us into this world to serve as a light to others. We can only do so when we find us in the presence of others. By now we realize that this business of living means being about our Father's business and not ours. Living the abundant life, enjoying its fullest array, its variety of form, includes those treasures of inner being. God gave us the freedom to choose this as our way of life. The field of discovery is the depth of our being. It is a matter of calling forth the treasures buried deep in us, allowing them to come forth to sparkle and shine. These elements reside in a realm of existence above and beyond the earth and everything in it. Those riches of inner being are the core and the essence of man. We uncover them in a time of meditation. In a state of stillness and peace, the lesser gives way to the greater, revealing that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The gems of the earth reside in a kingdom created just for them. The true self of us, the gem of our being, resides in a kingdom created just for us. A kingdom is a seat of power, a place of authority, and the one who abides there calls it home. It is now time to discover and discover man himself. We begin by focusing attention on the self of inner being, on its spiritual nature and name. God expresses as man, and as his expression, he gives us freedom to be, to do, and to become. In this freedom, we attain our good, and we find the beauty of God in all things. Vernon Shields, an early divine science minister, describes it this way. Because of this freedom, we are at liberty to move from sense to soul, from the lesser to the greater, and to become the radiant being that God conceived us to be. Terry Muntz, also an early divine science minister, she says it this way: God has given freedom to man, freedom to find truth for himself, freedom to live according to his light or his desires, freedom to express as he wishes, but with this one reservation, that he cannot avoid the results of his actions. That we have misused our freedom, yes, it is a fact. But we have also learned many valuable lessons in what not to do. It is true that sometimes, in our freedom to choose, we have not chosen wisely. Sometimes we regret our wasted opportunities, our misdirected energies, and our so-called failures with ourselves and with others. Do not allow this critical attitude to remain too long. While it is well to perceive our mistakes, for in so doing we shall not repeat the error, however, let us also be careful not to make picture patterns in our subconscious, which are difficult to erase. There is a principle that governs life in its highest form of expression. That principle is the omnipresence of God. Being one with principle, we develop the wisdom that allows us to choose wisely, making right decisions and determinations. Because you see, cooperating with the principle of life, we are no longer the one doing the choosing. Through an act of personal surrender, we live in God's presence, governed by his laws. Looking to the one cause, we are one with this creative activity, the one that gives visibility to the invisible. There is a sleeping giant within each one of us. Stirred in recognition, the greater he in us rises and goes to his Father. Speak, Lord, I am listening. This morning we have the opportunity to enter the Father's house, consciously one with every good thing. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. We hear the assurance, I love you and care for you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The inner voice is the only teacher, the only master we will ever need. Choose this day whom you will serve. You are my beloved child. Come sit with me. I have prepared a table of spiritual refreshment for you. In the coming week, you may face trials and tribulations because this is the way of the world. Though the appearance may be strong, I am not far away. You carry me with you in consciousness. I in the midst of you is not disturbed. You are free to choose the way of upward glancing to the Father's house or downward glancing to the world of form and condition. Your determinations mold and pattern your experience. Let us choose wisely. God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
in peace and have a blessed week.